Win a dream home in Spain, plus €50,000 cash with Westmeath GAA, while supporting future generations of players. The draw closes on the 30th of June. Don't miss this life-changing chance. So get your ticket now on winahomeinspain.com.
Off the ball breakfast.
Oh, Duffer. Duffer, Duffer, Duffer. What have you done, Duffer?
Oh, from the jaws of victory, defeat is snatched.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
It is to the paper review that we go. Delighted to say that the sports writer with the Irish Daily Mail and the Mail on Sunday, Hugh Farley, is alongside us. Hugh, good afternoon to you. And alongside him is the broadcaster and the writer, Megan Scully. Megan, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a million for coming in, particularly with events.
I know, I'm meant to be like, have a journalistic view here, haven't I, and say that I'm just, I'm not supporting you. No, I'm going through and through. And did you see Borg Joyce kick two pointers in the warm-up? I mean, get the jersey on him.
I mean, the way, we'll see how the game unfolds. We'll see. 2 points apiece, and we'll keep you across that. Let's, you know what's happening across the sports pages this morning. We're going to start with the Sunday Independent, Tyrone Power. Red Hand revival as Dubs dumped out of All-Ireland, and Niall Devlin there with a bit of a fist pump towards the end of that game. And also McGuinness irked by Donegal's statement. Boss says that he didn't know about the county board memo, writes Michael Verney. We will come to that in just a couple of moments' time. It's a celebratory Padraig Hamsey on the back page of the Mail on Sunday today. Tyrone roar to victory, Desi departs after defeat, and Donegal storm into the semis. Lots of reaction to that, and Lions bounce back is the other one there. It's Lions on the Sunday Times with Captain Fantastic. Sheehan leads Lions to victory in tour opener. Plenty of coverage of that inside. And Farrell steps down as Dublin manager in the wake of loss, writes Michael Foley. We'll go to the Mirror, where we have Desi takes Tyrode. Ah, I'm having that. Farrell stands down after Red Hand's win. Jeepers Creepers, it's Aston Villa offering Chelsea the chance to buy Emi Martinez for £45 million. Fair play to them. It's a great start, lads, with the 8 tries for the Lions. That's the Mirror and the Sun. Sky Blues sinking. Dubs KO'd in last 8 again. Reflections on that game there. And Jim's swing statement. The Sunday World, heartache for Dubs. Farrell steps down after 6 seasons to Tyrone Power into semis. And the heartache being Petey Hart, a 2-point machine. At least in the first half yesterday. Didn't really work out for him so much in the second half. Liverpool move for Osimhen. More speculation there. And finally, we'll go with Sunday People. Chelsea out to win an Emmy. Blues pinpoint £45 million Villa ace as solution to their keeper crisis, it says there. And plenty more on the rugby and other bits as well inside.
Just before you go on, did you get the headline on the front of the Sindo Sport? Tyrone Power.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
I'm with you. Did I gloss over it too quick?
No, but do you know what they're going for there? Like?
Tyrone Power.
He was a matinee idol in Hollywood in the
40s. Oh, was he? Okay. Oh, that went totally over.
So it might just be for people my age that remember him, yeah. He was a swashbuckling kind of piratey type guy.
I think it's definitely gone over my head anyway. I'm sure there are most of our listeners are like, Tyrone Power, sure. Front page of the Sunday Independent we go, because there's a story here by Mark Tai. FAI rocked by fresh allegations of toxic culture. Organisation greatly concerned by complaints. So we'll just give you a bit of the details of this story. As reports Mark Tai here, the Football Association of Ireland has been rocked by an anonymous email that made a series of allegations against named people involved in football, including an FAI official. David Carell, the FAI's chief executive, he writes, said that the association is, quote, greatly concerned, end quote, there about the allegations. Using the pseudonym Truth Football, the email was sent to a series of FAI people last week, including Mr. Carell and the FAI president Paul Cook, and the email also sent to the Raise Concern email account that the FAI set up last year to deal with complaints about bullying and abusive behaviour in football. Sport Ireland and the Sunday Independent also included in the recipient list there. So the email said that the person's complaints, quote, point to a wider culture that remains toxic, unaccountable and in many cases unchanged despite past scandals. So this is the latest beat in this story, alleging issues arising from that email, like unsolicited sexting by an unnamed FAI employee to a female work colleague, and then other alleged instances of wrongdoing. Obviously, the FAI responded last year following that Sunday Independent RTE report, which included allegations against coaches, and they did respond by investigating, and that was where the third-party investigation came in, and the email address, and that's where this latest story comes from, and I'm sure it's some that we're going to hear more from during the week. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's a really hard story to hear and to listen about. And I think I was just telling you earlier about, you know, I've had experience of being sent unsolicited messages and pictures in the past, and back a couple of years ago when probably Snapchat was the most popular app, I used to use it for work purposes because I found when I was working in full-time in radio, it was quite handy to interact with the listeners and just, you know, quickly say, drop me a Snapchat there. I found you'd get the you know, the audience reaction much quicker from the app. But then what that led to was just getting pictures sent to me of body parts that I didn't want and from people I didn't know. And I just automatically would block because that's all I really knew how to deal with the situation because I wasn't sure what to do about it. And then, like, these would come outside of work hours now. This wasn't while I was working. And then I got to a stage where I actually was telling you earlier, I was actually up in Dublin for work and I was sitting in my hotel room and I looked at my Snapchat and I had a picture. I think actually possibly this one was a video. And I opened it up and it obviously was something that I didn't want to see and shouldn't have been sent. And I actually caught my phone and I threw it across the room and I said, I'm just had enough with this. Again, I didn't know how to deal with the situation. So I actually just completely shut down my whole Snapchat account and deleted it forever because that's all that I knew. And even still to this day, my automatic reaction when I get anything that I don't want from strangers or if someone I know, it's just block because that's all I seem to know what to do with it. And it's an ongoing issue. And it's like, well, if you have social media accounts, you're kind of leaving yourself open to it. And like, that's, I guess I say to you, like, I'm almost desensitized from it now because it's kind of just become part and parcel of the work that I do, which shouldn't be the way, but unfortunately that's just how it is. So the block button, unfortunately, has probably become my coping mechanism in some senses because it's the only thing I suppose I can do, especially because they're always from private accounts or people with, you know, a secret name or not their actual photograph. So look, it's just, yeah, and it's hard to, because we live in a digital era now. So unfortunately, it's you're leaving yourself exposed, but hopefully laws will start to come into place now.
But it's very hard to justify social media at any level at this stage, isn't it? Like the cons completely outweigh the pros. Like, I mean, what are the pros? Oh, you get to see a funny video of, I don't know, like a cat who looks like whatever. Like, it's just, there's nothing to commend it now. I mean, it's terrible to hear that you had to go through that kind of stuff. I mean, I was watching a documentary the other night about the origins of Twitter, and it was all trying to do the kind of social network and how it got together and the boardrooms and all that. But the only thing that came through for it is how they could not get a handle on the abuse that it was a platform for, you know? And like, let's be honest, I hate to say it, but people are horrible. They go online and they're absolutely horrible. And they think that you get a free pass online, you don't. I mean, you guys go through abuse on the comments all the time. When I was back in the Indo days, they used to have comments underneath the articles and you'd actually be terrified about pressing send on your piece because you knew if you expressed any type of opinion. I used to defend Declan Kidney a bit at the time, and that's all it was. And you get these reams of abuse, like, I hope you get cancer and die, for expressing an opinion about rugby. I mean, you should be able to do your job without getting attacked like that, you know. And I think the only solution is delete the whole lot.
Yeah, and that's it. But then the other side of it for me, I suppose, with social media is I kind of have to use it for work purposes. But
do you have to, though? Like,
yeah, I kind of find that I do, because like that, it's just handy to get like live score updates when you can't go to a game or perhaps for connecting with people who are being a freelancer. It kind of helps me in that sense. So I definitely couldn't. I don't think I could work without it. And I do a lot of work on social media, again, like covering games and whatnot or going to sporting events. So it's not something that I could get rid of. But I think there needs to be something brought into place. Like, I know, as I said, when you're on social media, we're open up for criticism. And I don't mind people maybe disagreeing with my opinion, but I think the issue is when they pick on you personally.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is, because I suppose we've seen lately with the whole tattle life and what's happening there, it's when people make it personal about your appearance or what you're wearing or my hair or something that like is about my personal life. And that's where I guess it is, there has to be something brought in where there's more of a safeguarding around, especially for the younger generation. Like, I'm working in this industry now since, like, when I first started out, I think in journalism, there wasn't really even any social media. I think Bebo existed. So, you know, I had to kind of, I suppose, bend and move with all the different new social media accounts that are out there. But I do feel sorry for the younger generation who've grown up with it, because we haven't seen the social media giants put any safeguarding in place for the younger people.
Well, that's the key bit, really, for me, is that accountability bit. Like, I think there are positive pieces to, I appreciate the unpopular nature and the impossibility of making this brief, but I think there are some positives to social media in the sense that, like, it's become a place that people go to for news or for current affairs.
We could get on without it, Adrian. We could survive without it.
I
want to know, do people who send these messages, right, like, and I wouldn't have had anything as bad as Megan had, but like, what do they feel themselves afterwards? I mean, do you remember the whole Paddy Jackson trial thing? I was on here a few times and I wrote kind of strong pieces, kind of quite condemnatory. And I got reams of abuse, like, and I actually hunted one of the guys down. You can track him down. And he was training under 14 kids in a rugby club with daughters himself. And the stuff he was saying to me under, as Megan says, an anonymous name, like, what?
Well, I think
they just think they get a free pass online.
You're applying a logic or a reasonableness to people that might be involved in sending that sort of stuff. And quite often, I think, as you found out in relation to that one, that it might be absent of that.
Yeah, it's just people giving themselves a pass that they don't think it's...
No, and I think if I think the platforms could do an awful lot more in relation to accountability. I don't see why that couldn't be something that could be done tomorrow. This one, obviously, is in relation to internal things. We shall see how it plays out. From an FAI point of view, like, just another headline when you open the... It's nearly a lack of surprise about the whole thing, but we shall see how it...
When you read it, your heart just sinks again, doesn't it? It's so, and it's Mark Tighe, who obviously has incredible pedigree in exposing these type of things. Go back to Delaney, and I see a couple of pages in, himself and Marie Crowe are being awarded by the Law Society for the work they did on the
brilliant,
the abuse the women get, you know, who suffered in silence, as it says in the piece. And you just see this, and it's just so grubby and so warped, and I'm just sick of the FAI at this point. I mean, I remember we were talking about Damien Duff in a bit, and he said a while back that it should be raised to the ground, and he had to roll back from that because it was seen as too extreme. And I know he didn't, you know, it possibly was in terms of the use of the language, but you just want to clear out and start again. I don't know, is there, like, you know, if we see it at grassroots level or League of Ireland level, and they're desperate for good facilities and funding and all that, but you can't trust the FAI to administer their own funding. So if you come in, clean it out, you know, remember we were talking earlier, there was a chance for Sarah Keane to take over. There was a lot of support for that. That never got off the ground. Is this type of further, like, diminishing respect for this organisation? At what point do we just step in and start from scratch, you know, because this is just more of it, like...
Well, the FAI is not Irish football. I think the differentiation
that
you made, and all the coaches and the kids and playing young football and boys and girls, it's still the most popular sport in the world. And, like, it, so it's there's a difficulty in that Irish football desperately needs support. Like, Roddy Collins is talking today, and he's a Bohemians legend, about Dedman Park being not fit for purpose and all these other grounds being not fit for purpose. So we have to support, we have to find a way as a state, as a country, to support Irish football as an industry in a fair way compared to, say, the greyhound racing industry or the horse racing industry. This is the most popular sport in the world, and Ireland should be at the table. So I don't know what the... It's very complex, but because FIFA doesn't want governments getting involved in football associations, but there has to be a way of getting support and ring-fencing any funding that the FAI gets with support for academies and coaching young kids. Because unless we build an industry here, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse when it comes to the national football team. You've all this nostalgia, 35 years since Italia 90. Like, 35 years since Italia 90. It's almost like in 1990 going back to 1955 to talk about the success of a national team. On the social media thing, I just can't believe how the EU and the government in this country don't regulate these platforms. And
I presume it's because of the financial loss if they do, isn't it? Like, there'd be less traffic.
Because this is the complete Wild West. And on just on a personal note, I tweeted out that putting the robe on Lionel Messi at the World Cup final was a disgrace, because they were hijacking the biggest moment in world football of this man's career. And me putting that out in social media, just an opinion, got traction in the Arab world and led to death threats.
Jesus.
So, you know, somebody's going to you on Instagram, I'm going to find you, I'm going to kill you for something that you put out, just an opinion, a legitimate opinion in a free society about social media. That's how, since Elon Musk took over Twitter, it has become the absolute Wild West hellscape. It's an absolute hellscape. And how that can be allowed to exist, where anybody at any age can go on and see this and go through these algorithms, it just beggars belief. And I don't go off on a tangent here, the mind boggles, but bring it back onto your point, Adrian.
It's all fair enough, JD. It's all fair enough. Could remove yourself from it is one option that I've done.
But I don't think we should. I mean, I think...
From that platform specifically.
You need to be able,
that's the best option.
You're letting it win then.
Yeah.
My kind of angle is, I find Twitter very useful for information and quick and speedy information. That is on a platform that you don't really get. There's no other real platforms. We've tried Blue Sky, we've tried Threads, we've tried all these things. Mm. It's still very good for up-to-date information. That's what I use it for. Mm. But also, you're letting the anonymous nobody's win if you go off these platforms.
But they end up shouting into a void if no one's listening.
Well, just treat them as spam. I think you need to treat them as spam, you know.
Stop buying your Teslas and keep off Twitter, Jamie.
Yeah. Lock.
Off the ball breakfast.
Oh, Duffer. What have you done, Duffer?
Oh, from the jaws of victory, defeat is snatched.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Win a dream home in Spain, plus €50,000 cash with Westmeath GAA, while supporting future generations of players. The draw closes on the 30th of June. Don't miss this life-changing chance, so get your ticket now on winahomeinspain.com.